Okay, and welcome back. It's crazy out there. Let's find out what's going on in the world of TIs. Professor Emeritus, Dr. Eric Carlstrom, standing by. Eric, are you there?
Yes, good evening, Jeff.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you. I think that... what comes to my mind, you know, right off the top of my head is supposedly William Casey, the CIA director under Ronald Reagan in 1981. He was a former Wall Street lawyer. He supposedly addressed his staff, and in his first meeting he said, we'll know our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And I have grown to regard that statement as being extraordinarily prescient. I retired from a 30-year teaching career. Some will perhaps remember, but I'll just repeat it for somebody that's new listening. I retired from teaching 30 years in three universities in the field of physical geography in 2011, and I started researching things that were of great interest to me. And of course, with the internet, I was able to really make tracks. In the first year, I wrote six or seven short books worth on my 911nwo.com website, and a whole series on cults and mind control and that sort of thing. And then in 2013, I realized I was being targeted. I was a targeted individual. I knew that. And then since 2014, I've been researching that, and that has been an enormous project. And now I have I've got five websites that I've maintained as a retired professor, which are free digital libraries of information for the public.
They're repositories of great wisdom and knowledge. They're huge.
I've done a lot of research, and of course, I'm trying to kind of continue my trajectory in my life as an educator, just hopefully with a larger audience, you know, and for the record kind of stuff. And the gang stalking mind control cults.com is just one of five of my websites, but it's now got 2,600 posts. And to 2013, as I say, I realized I was a targeted individual. Before that, I didn't know what a targeted individual was or what the process was. But I immediately started doing interviews on this subject because I realized this was a horrible thing and that many, many other people were also being targeted, and I wanted to try to reach out to them in whatever way I could. And I must have now given well over 100 interviews on this topic, many with you. Thank you very much. You're one of the few, out there in alternative media who really has supported this this effort to educate the public. I remember one interview I had with Kev Baker of Truth Frequency Radio. He's from Scotland and very, very nice guy and clever and well-spoken and interested and interesting. And we were quite sympathetic to the plight of targeted individuals, which is we're put in a man-made hell thanks to our government's, covert ops. And I remember saying to him, well, you know, it seems to me every time I turn around, this thing gets bigger and bigger. And it's like, we got a real tiger by the tail here. Because at first, I really didn't know what was going on. We call it organized stalking, electronic harassment, OSEH. We call it the Target Individual Program. Has many names, gang stalking. And I realize it's World War III. This is World War III. And they're going after the influencers, you know, with their special operations forces and their high-tech stuff. And that they've been doing this, it goes back, as we'll hopefully discuss tonight. Yeah. Winston Churchill came up with this idea in 1940, and some of the first British special ops guys were singling out potential influencers and leaders in their colonies that they wanted to neutralize.
We should mention real quickly, Eric, that most of these influences are white influencers. The war on whites is real.
Well, that's another dimension. Absolutely. 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 But so anyway, what I've done, Jeff, and I hope we can continue to discuss a recent post that I shared with you that you have, I believe, as the top post under the column under my name, Professor Eric Carlstrom. I've been working this thing up, and I revised it some over yesterday and today. Now I've got 40 witnesses or expert testimonies. It's called Entities Behind Global Psychotronic Warfare. Psychotronic is a mixture of psychological and electronic warfare. Organized stalking, quote, human research, torture, murder, black program. Testimonial evidence from targeted individuals, 25 of them are targeted individuals, military intelligence personnel and agencies that are doing it, scientists that are doing it, and authors and others for ad hoc de facto grand jury you. So what I'm appealing to here in this article, I'm basically giving the high points or the headlines from my gang stalking mind control cults.com website, again with 2,600 posts. And so I'm trying to summarize it in some sort of form that is accessible to people and indicates for those who are interested enough to read it, and it is about 200 pages single spaced typed, and I have printed out a few copies and given them to local libraries, but it's all there. It tells you what the program is, who's behind it, what the history of the program is, and of course, this is a covert black operation, and it is denied officially. But the thrust of the testimonies in this post, which I certainly hope some people will take a look at, because it reflects a whole lot of time and effort, not just by me, but by many others that I quote here. This is very important because potentially we're all targets, and there is a low intensity conflict against the domestic population. It's a sliding scale. People can be assassinated outright, and you know the cases of that. And then there's this program, which is to neutralize and degrade and debilitate and disable and deceive and destroy targeted individuals in their own language. And so anyway, in this article now, I've added recently documents from the U.S. Air Force, from NATO, and from the U.S. Army, in which they talk about doing these kinds of operations. So altogether, I'd say, Jeff, it's a complete slam dunk as to what is happening. And again, when I started doing these interviews in 2014, I didn't have a clue that it was this big. I mean, the term organized stalking or gang stalking is almost almost a self-harm term in the sense that it minimizes what's happening. We're talking about warfare. We're talking about...
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about warfare of the elite through the special operations forces, intelligence services, and of course military, but not only that, through our neighborhood watch and our paramilitaries, our firemen, our police, our first responders. It's extremely well organized, and it's all over the world now, especially after 9/11. This is a global Phoenix program. Well, people say, what's the Phoenix program? Well, we can talk about what the Phoenix program is, and we should. This is to understand the world we live in, we need to know what counterinsurgency warfare is, because it has been the dominant form of warfare against domestic populations throughout the world since World War II. And, of course, I was doing my physical geography thing. I didn't know anything about this, you know. But I did. I was always fairly vocal about, I have a whole website on 911nwo.com in which I exposed the obvious false flag operation committed by United States military and intelligence, as well as Israel and a few other countries. It was obvious, you know, to somebody who grew up during the Vietnam War era, such as I did. And of course, I have another website, naturalclimatechange.org, which exposes the obvious psychological operation of climate change. And since that was my field, the science of climate change as a physical geographer, I knew this was bogus. So I may get around to finally writing an article, Climate Change, the Science and the PSYOP, because of the PSYOP has overcome the science, unfortunately. But anyway, I digress. And being an influencer then, I guess I was put on the list at some point, unbeknownst to me, and it became part of the terrorist screening database of the fusion centers of the DHS and the FBI. And, of course, anyone can nominate anyone for any reason, and no one is told they've been nominated, and apparently there's no way to get off the list. So our government now treats these people as domestic terrorists, enemy non-combatants, which means they have no civil liberties anymore. Their liberties have been stripped. So, and of course, they can call down all of the power of the United States military and intelligence services, because it is their mandate to wage war against foreign enemies and terrorists. If you look at their own documents, like U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force documents, that's what we do. And so now all they have to do is get a list of people that are considered terrorists or potential terrorist threats, even under the Bush 2 administration. And away they go. They've got an enemy. Hot dang, let's go get them, Charlie.
It's true.
And then they track you, and then they surveil you, and then they interfere with your life, and they zap you with electromagnetic frequencies
torture
you.
Worse.
Much worse. Yeah, destroy you.
The technology is exploding. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, okay. So anyway, that's kind of a rambling introduction here, but I was hoping, Jeff, that we could persevere with this article. Like I said, I've got 40 different testimonies, and we've gone through some of them. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go through a few more.
No, listen. Don't worry about repetition ever. Intelligent people always learn more the second time. Most people don't remember anything, so it's okay.
Yes. Well, okay, so, and I don't know exactly what the continuity is. I mean, how many people listening tonight have heard us before? So I'll just go over some basics. I define in this 200-page article, which I hope some people will click on, I hope they will read it, and realize that if I can be targeted, you can be targeted. Anybody in your family can be targeted and have their lives destroyed by our government. So anyway, here's what I say. This is my short definition of targeted individual program. Officially justified as, quote, risk management, counterterrorism, national security, biomedical or military weapons research, and cognitive warfare, the Targeted Individual Program, or TI program, also known as Organized Stalking Electronic Harassment, is actually a vast, worldwide, illegal, black military intelligence policing operation carried out by police in concert with regular, irregular, that'd be the civilians, and special forces, and indeed virtually all aspects of society. These covert psychotronic, that's psychological plus electronic, and neurowarfare operations are designed to weaken, disable, control, neutralize, enslave, and or liquidate civilians who are secretly blacklisted as enemies of the state through the DHS-FBI fusion center system and its equivalent in cooperating nations. And this is a global program initiated and maintained and I think mostly conducted, well, the center of it all is the United States, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the DHS, and especially the DOD. And this is what comes across in this collection of testimonies I have. I actually take these testimonies, I write them down, and then I kind of tally up who these individuals attribute this program to. So the DOD comes out as the top winner, 62% of the testimonies, a finger of the Department of Defense, now Department of War.
Okay.
So, but the NSA, CIA, DHS, and the FBI, and Special Operations Forces are right up there in terms of Listen, if I can just make an aside here to the people of America, to your listeners, the war on terror, like 9/11, like the global man-caused global warming fraud, is a phony. The historically speaking, governments are the main initiators of terrorism, like 99%. So what the governments do then is they take somebody they don't like and they call them a terrorist, and then they justify sending hell to them, whether it be a country put on the terrorism watch list or an individual who would be a political enemy, a truth teller, a quote dissident, a whistleblower, etc. Your chances of being killed by a terrorist, fellow Americans, is 1 in 20 million, which is about the same as being killed by your television.
That's a good stat. Yeah.
1 in 20 million. In other words, terrorism, and yet the propaganda system has managed to keep us all in fear of these fictional characters that they create, like Osama bin Laden, who's CIA name was Tim Osman, and whose family was partners with the Bush crime family. I mean, we're living in a bubble of unreality in this country created for us by the intelligence agencies and the propaganda agencies, the news media, which is so disparate, so different from the way the world works. And this, of course, is what I've learned by experience and by studying since I retired in 2011, that we essentially we all have not only cognitive dissonance, we have psychosis. There's a cognitive break, a psychotic break between the way the world really is and how it really functions and what Americans who watch the mainstream media believe. In other words, they put us in la-la land. And I grew up in la-la land. I remember, I watched Gunsmoke and like everybody else, and, Ed Sullivan and all, Disneyland and all that stuff when I was growing up. But I didn't know what was really going on in the world. Now I've been having a chance to study it because it's my survival and survival of others to study it. But so I hope we can wake up.
Well, it would be nice, but I am very concerned about the indescribable explosion of technology.
Well,
that
see,
is a tough
is
one.
Yeah, well, we have a war for technocracy, according to Dr. David A. Hughes, two PhDs out of Oxford.
Right.
And he's got it. If you can read my websites, please do. And another tremendous resource I would recommend is David A. Hughes, Volume 1, COVID-19, Psychological Operations and the War for Technocracy. So when you talk about the explosion in technology, all of this, I guess, is, and Hughes, of course, outlines this all very well. I think I'll send you a copy, Jeff, when I can.
Okay.
You've done so much on COVID-19, I know you'd love this. The technocracy is slamming down onto us very quickly. But anyway, if I can go to a couple of these testimonies, so that'd be all
go
right?
Go to it. No, you're rolling on a high note, so
I've got
so stay
40
with
of them. This is from a guy named Ryan Mitchell. He's got a website, Diary of a Modern Day Slave. We're talking slavery, folks. We're talking about technological slavery. Diary of a Modern Slave, CHS, in America. This is his cognitive investigative series. Mind control psyops weapons program, he says. He's utilizing DNA biosequenced resonance to individualize targets with frequency weapons. They torment, torture, condition, control, enslave, experiment, brainwash, cover up, kill, and systematically drain us of all we are and love. From the beginning, all I wanted was justice, my life back, and to enjoy happiness with the love of my life. That ending is unlikely at this juncture. Over the past 30 years, the U.S. government has unleashed a plague of non-consensual violence upon humanity. And how many people know this? He says, "My name is Ryan Mitchell, and this is my story. I am a non-voluntary slave, CHS, also known as confidential human source for the U.S. government. Specifically, this abduction is used for gain-of-function research." That sounds familiar with the COVID. "Intelligence, brainwashing, innocence into Manchurian candidate assassins, theft of intellectual property, and soul snaring. This is the grand design of the CIA, the one that we pay for, DARPA, the one that we pay for, and the U.S. military, the one we pay for, operating secret human or human intelligence programs. I cannot escape the entrapment of this nightmare. I cannot hide from the intrusion, find refuge from the pain, or unplug." This is an American citizen. Talk about breaking the social contract. Believe me, there are many, many, many such reports on my website. "Find refuge from the pain or unplug from this decimation of myself. I am forced to compel and perform for these U.S. government operators against my free will on a daily basis." So it's really a battle of whose free will, whose freedom of thought. It's a contest for your mind. "In America, I'm forced to defend myself against an invisible infiltration of my body, mind, right, and soul, with little defense against teams of my own countrymen." These would be the gang-stalking perpetrators, the goons on the ground, the flying monkeys, there are many names for them, surveillance role players, LARPers, etc., "which have turned against we the people. I have no formal agreement. I've never consented to participate. I'm violated and assaulted by this invasion. I'm not compensated, only destroyed." This is how your American government treats your American citizens. This guy never is not a criminal. "I'm being erased and programmed a little more each and every day. I'm being forced to be part of a collective mind, the hive mind." That's the Borg, right? "While they copy my neural signature and synapses to others I do not know," so that would be the hive mind, "and erase their criminal acts against my will and choice." So this sounds like science fiction, right? Well, this has been around since the 60s. This has been around, as I will demonstrate here, and we have demonstrated. He says, "There is no personal benefit for me or incentive beyond a reduction in daily pain, torture, torment, or grooming tactics for myself, my significant other, and my family. These U.S. government RODs, that's retired on duty, those would be ex-military, and operators are attempting to frame me, steal my knowledge and abilities, and turn me into a vegetable so I can no longer articulate what has happened to me." He goes on and on. He has a good understanding of the technical aspects of the program, and I have a good bit. He talks about HARPS, three-phase over-the-horizon radar, as a distribution method used for ELF, extremely low frequency, and scalar waves directionally, worldwide refracting signals off the ionosphere to target a specific individual who is also a DNA bioresonance-directed energy victim. And this is very technical stuff, but the testimonies that I've got here, they reinforce each other on these points, so that if someone were to, you know, want to learn about this program, they could download this article, they could print it out, they could read it, they could share it with their friends, they could bring it to a library, and other people could understand what's going on, that we're being destroyed, we're being killed.
It's all being taken down, and us with it. You bet.
And it's right. And it's our government. It's the taxpayers are paying for this.
It's not our government. It's an international globalist Zionist communist Bolshevik machine of evil. There. That's what it is.
Yes, it is. And okay, so if we move over to, I've got many of these testimonies on this website. Maybe 500, 600, 700 TI testimonies. That would be one, and like I say, these testimonies, they're enormous similarities, because it's the same program all over the world. There's a woman by the name of Cynthia Chung, and she wrote an article, "The Enemy Within, A Story of the Takeover of the U.S. Military and the Birth of the Perpetual War Machine in 2024, in which she talks about these black world special ops, like Phoenix Program, conducted by, quote, parallel states involving paramilitary and parapolice forces in clandestine peacetime warfare, counterinsurgency operations involving hunter-killer squads. Okay, that's what's going on in America right now,
sure.
All over the world,
sure.
In fact.
Oh, you
it's
bet.
Going on in Mexico, where I live now, where I'm happy you're here. The Mexicans are all into this stuff. Believe me, I see it all the time. So the Phoenix program in the Vietnam War was really one of the real first major trials of this program. It moved to South America with Operation Condor, and it moved to Italy with Operation Gladio, and it's moved all over the world. Central America with the Pink Plan and the Salvador Option. This is the information liquidation model, according to David A. Hughes, where they use computers to gain as much information as they can about individuals. They use these satellites, supercomputers, and enormous data banks. Len, look at all these data centers that are being built. So you can imagine that they'll be able to put everyone in their sights pretty soon if they don't already have that capability. So this is what's happening. This is what's been happening. And the nice thing about Cynthia Chung's article is that she lays out how these things have played out in, shall we say, the American colonies. She says, during the 1970s, something that had already been implemented in Western Europe under Operation Gladio, that was the stay-behind networks of MI6, British intelligence, NATO, and the CIA, is domestic terrorism, against the domestic population.
Correct.
Under Operation Gladio and in Vietnam under the Phoenix Program, same thing, began to expand upon these models of Orwellian parallel states and clandestine warfare. See, that's what the TI program is. It's warfare. It's not just gang stalking. It's not just electronic. It's mind control and psychotronic warfare and clandestine warfare and all the neuro warfare.
Well, very important aspect of kinetic war now, and that's what they're practicing all the time, perfecting constantly.
Yes. Yeah, this
war is not just blow people
operations.
Up and kill them anymore. No.
Yeah.
It's far more.
Yeah, it's better to just disable people, make them weak, because then their families
Easy.
Have to take care of them. They can't function well. And you have
to. You don't mess up the real estate. That's right.
That's right. Yeah, it's like the neutron bomb. You know, it kills people but leaves the building standing. This destroys your life but leaves you alive.
Yeah.
So it implemented them in South America, Operation Condor, under a centralized computer network, there we go, that had been set up by the Americans in Panama, known as Condor Tel, specifically related to Operation Condor, and COPE COMI, as a more broad American purview, which oversaw and connected all these parallel states in the Americas in coordination with each other, implementing hunter-killer squads modeled off of the Green Berets Special Forces of the Phoenix Program. Now, how many people in America know about Operation Condor, the Pink Plan, the Salvador Option? I'll bet it's 1 in 1,000. I Americans are so ignorant about what our government has done. Here's what she said. Operation Condor is what allowed for the formation of parallel states in South America, which relied upon implementation of peristatal structures. Peristatal structures are the forces and infrastructures of Black World Special Operations. This hidden part of the state, the parallel state, includes para-police and paramilitary forces, harbored and directed by the state, with access to a vast shadow infrastructure, including secret prisons, fleets of unmarked cars and unregistered aircraft, unofficial cemeteries, secure communication systems, and other parallel structures funded by black budgets. Gosh, that sounds just about what John F. Kennedy
sure.
was warning us about in 1961.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
the more time goes by, the more John F. Kennedy looms large. He was just a great American, the last great American in that office, of course, without question. And his views, his visions, his warnings were second
to none. I'm old enough to remember. I was 14 when he died. I remember he and his brother would quote Shakespeare regularly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was an uplifting, it was an been
he was a Democrat. What do we have now? What are Democrats now? Garbage. Garbage. Trash. Yeah. I'll be polite.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, anyway, yeah, he talked about the secret government, and this is what it is. And then she goes to say, the parallel state in Latin America augmented the lethal capabilities of the military dictatorships while allowing them to retain the appearance of legality and a certain legitimacy. Parastatal structures permitted the militaries to avoid international law and human rights guarantees, prevent public scrutiny, expand the powers of the state over society, and give the militaries free rein to utilize extreme and lawless methods against, quote, subversion. This is what's happening in America now, folks. The parastatal forces created by the counterinsurgents included the clandestine groups, secret intelligence organizations, task forces, and civilian informant networks. Oh, yeah, that's our neighborhood watch, acting covertly on behalf of the state. She's describing is a system that has been perfected by the CIA, the Special Operations, NATO, MI6, around the colonial downtrodden nations of the world, and which is now being implemented right here at home to come home to roost. Okay, so this entire network of parallel states in the Americas was organized and received its direction from a central node in Panama, again, using these computerized systems of Condor, Tell, Cope, Comey. Now, think about this, folks, with all these data centers we're building. What's the data? It's going to be data on you, you know.
That's correct. That's totally correct. You got it.
Served as the training grounds for the death squads modeled off of the Green Berets in the infamous Vietnam Phoenix program. All of this activity in Panama and the broader Americas, that's throughout Latin America, was being conducted under the direction of the CIA and the U.S. Army and certain members of the U.S. government, such as Henry Kissinger's central role in Operation Condor. Okay, so, but then she throws in an interesting wrinkle that was educational to me. She says the Green Berets were a creation of World War II meant to mirror the British Special Forces, Special Air Service, SAS, founded in 1941 and reconstituted as a corps in 1950. Yeah. Yeah. The unit, of course, the United States has really just been the extension of the British Empire, hasn't it? And controlled by the British Empire since World War II.
Now look at the controlling element at this point. It's it's gone. It's completely imploded in filth, immorality, despicable lack of ethics, etc. They're arresting people for silent prayers in public. Come on. It's insane.
Well,
what's going on there?
It shows you their pedigree, doesn't it? She said this unit, which is still alive today, specializes in a number of roles, including counterterrorism, hostage rescue, direct action, and special reconnaissance. Well, these guys, these spies are pretty potent, actually. And she says the SAS were an offshoot of this is James Bond stuff, the British Special Operations Executive, SOE. During the Second World War, preparations were made in the case of a possible German victory, and stay-behind guerrilla warfare units were stationed throughout Europe. That's Gladio and the stay-behind armies of the CIA, the MI6, and NATO. The model was the British Special Operations Executive, or SOE, a top-secret guerrilla commando force established in 1940. That's before World War II. It was the brainchild of Winston Churchill and was called Churchill's Secret Army. This program would eventually be adopted into NATO. After the Allied victory, these stay-behind units were not disbanded, but rather were strengthened, expanded in almost every European country with direct aid and encouragement from the United States. Okay, so again, I've got many, many testimonies here, many of which overlap. This is essentially the same thing that Dr. Rani Kilda, the former chief medical officer of Northern Finland and author and targeted individual herself, said in her book, Bright Light on Black Shadows. And she actually recovered what she describes as the gang stalking manual and attributed this to the NATO stay-behind army.
She got a document. I didn't know this. I forgot that.
Yes, and I've got it on my website, and I've seen it pop up on the Internet in many different places.
Wow.
I can send it to you if you'd like. And she attributes it to MI6, NATO, and the CIA. And again, stay behind units of Gladio. These are fairly routine scientific, you might say, very clever procedures. Anyway, she does a great job of talking about how this then morphs into the United States, mainly between the Eisenhower administration, which left office in 1960, and the coming of the JFK, John F. Kennedy administration, in 1961. And she's mostly quoting from Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, who wrote a book called The Secret Team.
I had Fletcher on the program many times. Yeah, I know.
Well, Fletcher was one of a kind, and his information is one of a kind.
Yep.
He was the liaison, of course, between the CIA and the Department of Defense in the latter years of the Eisenhower administration, right up to the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, he was right at the point of the most power. It just flowed back and forth, and he oversaw all of it.
Yes. So, of course, and then he, being, honorable guy, he wrote these books, two books, one about the JFK assassination.
Very honorable.
And talks about how then the special operations forces of all of the different armed services of the Department of Defense then kind of specialized in clandestine operations throughout the 40 different countries, even then, at that time, some of which were America's enemies and some of which were friends. But this is told also in the article by Cynthia Chung, and she talks about this elite global army, which is made up of Gladio soldiers created to enforce their master's vision of what should be governing all regions of the world. So this then became the secret government, according to John F. Kennedy and Cynthia Chung. So this elite guard would operate and coordinate globally from a few nerve centers, beholden to no people, beholden to no elected officials, but who their masters had decided should be the selected world controllers of this new dawn. This is a pretty interesting article. So, Cynthia Chung is this, she's now written a couple books, I think. To understand what's happening in America with this kind of warfare, which I would say that, the TI program is part of the unrestricted warfare, the omni war, which is being waged ultimately by the few very, very rich against everybody. And they're using the nation states and the militaries of the nation states to wage this warfare. And now if we do have a little time extra, and I'd like to press on if I could, or do you have a comment, Jeff?
No, I'm just listening to this blaze of wisdom and intelligence and perspective. It's great.
Well, now we shift gears to Robert Naslund, a very, very, a Swedish targeted individual, who's just a guy who went into a hospital in 1967 for something, and then unbeknownst to him, he was implanted with a brain chip. And he documents the series of medical implants that he received involuntarily at Swedish hospitals. And he had these recovered, and then he was able to figure out who did what, when, where. And then he has gone ahead and written an article called "A Brain Implant Victim Speaks Out" in 2013. He did an excellent YouTube presentation lecture called "Robert Naslund Human Brain Project" in 2011, in which he says brains can. Now this is going to tie in with the Phoenix program, and it's going to go back to MKUltra. The CIA, is behind the Phoenix program. CIA is behind MKUltra. Brains can be stolen and raped. The authorities do it, he says. And he says, biomedical telemetry has long been thought to be impossible by the majority of people and has been relegated to science fiction. The fact is that scientists developed this technology into reality at least 30 years ago. Okay, this is 2011, so that's 1981, but actually before that, and started experiments with unwitting people like himself. By means of two-way radio communication called telemetry or remote control, one can send a wavelength round trip to a brain transmitter in a person's head. That would be an implant or a neurochip. The wavelength streams through the brain and returns to a computer where all aspects of a human being's life are uncovered and analyzed. During the 1960s, brain transmitters as small as half a cigarette filter made it possible for doctors to implant them into unwitting patients during operations easily and without surgery via the nostrils. To analyze an EEG, which is an electroencephalogram, series of little wavy lines coming off the brain waves, in a computer instead of a printer, gives a whole new perspective on what can be concluded. The receipt of mental manifestations as thoughts and visual impressions or feelings, behavior or psychological reactions can be continually registered. Biomedical telemetry has made it possible for medical scientists and the state to observe the person deeper and more completely than what the individual can possibly do himself. Isn't that interesting? Now Noah, Yuval Noah Harari is talking about under-the-skin surveillance, and here they were doing that back in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Go ahead. Yeah. Wow. You sure were. It's, you know, and the other thing, I really want to point back the astonishing change when the Beatles showed up, the Tavistock program, the psychedelic era was rolled out, and boy, the public just, it was so simple to do. There was no pushback. They just took the bait, and that was it. Gone. Gone.
We had no clue what was going on.
No
I was,
idea.
Of course, there in the 60s.
No.
We didn't have a clue. But, yes, so much of this was the result of CIA psychiatrists, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations coming out of London, and British intelligence. We didn't have a clue. But, yeah, let me continue here, because we might just get through this. Okay, through analysis and programmed computers, which were around and quite extensive even then, even effects and changes in a person's physical and mental status can be created. Okay, here's a couple quotes from, here's one by Professor Delgado, 1966, one of the main guys who invented the stemocyber, in his book Physical Control of the Mind Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. This is where we're heading, folks, unless we figure out how to stop it. By electrical stimulation of specific cerebral structures, movements can be induced by radio command. Hostility may appear or disappear. Social hierarchy can be modified. Sexual behavior may be changed. And he knows what's happening in the world now. And memory, emotions, and the thinking process may be influenced by remote control. He says transmitters have no batteries, are activated by radio. Of course, transmitter being in your brain as an implant, are activated by radio and can be used for life so that the brain can be stimulated indefinitely. These are really mad scientists. Here's a British, Swedish defense, or Swedish defense research institution, a spy guy named Persson. Distances were not a problem since long wavelengths could travel globally at the speed of light. Liquid crystals, which are injected directly into the bloodstream, and fat, this, by the way, this is 1965. Liquid crystals, which are injected directly into the bloodstream and fasten themselves to the brain, have been developed in the last 10 years. 55 to 65. It works on the same principle as the usual transmitter and uses the same technology and contains the same possibilities. An essential part of biotelemetry encompasses the transmission of data. Data centers, folks. This occurs mostly with the help from a surgically implanted transmitter. Okay. Implant. The technology has been developed quite extensively in medical research. So you had all these doctors in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, right to the present, who were really monsters as well as psychologists. These people
they certainly were. Oh, you got
these,
it.
These
monsters.
Are demons.
Yeah. Satanic, monsters, demons.
These are demons.
And
this guy, Robert Naislund, he identified them, and he found some good ones, fortunately, who vouched for him. Okay, here's a Publisher's Weekly's review of The Mind Stealers, a book by Samuel Chavkin in 1978. It says, telemetry for the surveillance of every citizen is on the drawing boards. That's you, folks. The mind control techniques could become standard equipment of government, prison, and police departments is backed by... And he said that mind control techniques could become standard equipment of government, prison, and police departments is backed by a forceful documentation. And it has been for a long time. Okay, now here's where it gets really hairy, and I'm glad we can kind of pull it together with this.
4 minutes to punch it. Go.
Okay, this is also coming from Robert Naislund. Headline, 33,000 civilians killed with brain tech in South Vietnam, 1970. Okay, this is the CIA's Phoenix program.
How many? 30,000? 30,000?
33,000 civilians killed with brain tech.
Wow.
Now we get into the brain tech.
Yep.
Okay, this was disclosed by British professors Malcolm Varner and Dr. Michael Stone in their book, The Data Bank Society, 1970, which is a strong protest against government's power over people's mind. At that time, the U.S. had its war in Vietnam, and it had advanced techniques for implanting people by mixing microchips in both medicines, alcohol, and probably Coca-Cola. The Americans could scan a large part of the South Vietnamese upper and middle class over a period of a few years. The supercomputers could therefore analyze and evaluate people, assess their opinions, and see what they were up to. They found there were 33,000 very important people who were Viet Cong sympathizers, and that was, of course, the enemy of the United States, and that they planned to execute. And they did execute them. It could be done with the same technologies through which their sympathies were assessed. To the connection to their brains, their biological functions could be changed to a state that killed them by creating heart attacks, cancer, strokes, or whatever they liked. Now we came full circle then. We talked about the Phoenix program, Operation Condor, the Data Bank Society, the supercomputers, the implants, and that was in the 60s and 70s. And guess what we're looking at now? I think we're looking at a radically improved version of the same system globally. So if a lot of our fellows...
I think you can make that argument easily. I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah. So, anyway, we got through it there. The military can use this brain technology for mass murder. And they have done so. And we saw the military roll out Operation Warp Speed, which is also mass murder. We need to reassess things in this country. We need to reassess who we're paying and whether they are whether they are committing treason or not. And in 2003, David Kilcullen advised President George W. Bush that, quote, we need a global Phoenix program. And I would say that the TI program, the organized stalking, gang stalking, electronic harassment, is the global Phoenix program that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and all these neocons rolled out against the American people and the people of the world.
Well said. I don't know what to add to that, except you've opened probably a couple of dozen doors, each of which could be gone through and mined for much further and more complicated, sophisticated, correct information that you have on your sites. You've done it. You've done the research. Probably you have no equal in this field. I can't imagine any. I'm serious. Maybe Giordano would be able to chip away at some things, but he's got direct inside knowledge. You put this together from the outside, which is even all the more remarkable. But you understand. The mind is the ultimate goal. And once they've got it, and I think they already do, they win. They win.
Winston Churchill said in the 1940s, the future battlefield is the mind. And Giordano said the brain is the battlescape of the present. So yes, neurotech, neuroscience, Dr. James Giordano would know a lot of things about this that I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's on the inside, of course.
He's on the inside, right? Right. Well, thanks so much, Jeff. I think we pushed forward a bit on this.
Yeah.
And it's very important. It's extremely important.
Very, very important. Very accessible. You made it very clear. There's just no ambiguity about any of it. It is what it is. So, well done. Thank you. And this is a program, a keeper. So, good job, as always. You be safe
Thanks
out there.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Okay, my friend. Good night.
Okay, good night.
All righty. Professor Eric Carlstrom. He, on our side of the fence, no equals. He's remarkable. Okay, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. Thanks for being here. Hope you learned something tonight. I did, and I do every program. All right, we'll be back in 21 hours. See you then.